future, talk radio will actually educate, inspire, and make you think. The future is now. Topics and music that affect your life from Universal Broadcasting Network. Tune in at ubnradio.com.
We're talking love in the modern world. This is Dates and Mates with your host, Damona Hoffman. I can't care about anything
but you. Hello, everyone. Happy Wednesday. We are here at the lovely Sunset Gower Studios in Hollywood, and we are talking about love in the modern world, as we are every Wednesday at 11 a.m. If you are listening to us live, please take a minute and sign in on the chat roll because we want to get you involved in the conversation. We are here on UBN Channel 1. You just sign in there with Facebook or Twitter and you can ask us your questions. And you're going to want to ask us your questions because I have an amazing self-love and empowerment guru in studio with me today. Her name is Tanya TKO, and you're going to want her advice on your love life today. So sign in there, and if you're listening to us on iTunes, on Stitcher, on Blog Talk Radio, on TuneIn, make sure that you like and follow the show and UBN Radio if you're on TuneIn so that you don't miss a single action-packed episode of Dates and Mates. I'm also joined in studio here by producer Naina. What's up, girl?
Hi. Yes, I'm here. I'm back. It's a happy Wednesday.
Where did you go?
Wednesday. It feels like Monday to me.
I know. It's very confusing. I thought it was Friday yesterday.
Yeah.
It's very weird. Devin, you're also here in the house.
Hey, guys. How are you doing? How are everyone doing?
Oh, my God. Everybody here needs some caffeine, okay? I'm going to, like, run over across the street to Starbucks and hook it up because we need to pump up the energy here. We have an amazing guest here, and we also have a little D's dating dish that we have to do.
Yes, we do.
So, Naina, there's no dish?
No, we have D's
dating dish.
Yeah,
there we go.
The first one.
All right. The first one. We have four
D's
today.
Dating dish.
Thank you. I need my dishes.
Yeah.
So obviously the big news today, this big hack, the celebrity nude photos, yeah. iCloud hacking situation. So I don't know. I want to get your opinion. Like, I kind of feel like I'm with Ricky Gervais, who everybody was jumping on him on Twitter. If you don't want people to see nude photos of your ass, don't put them on your computer.
I agree.
And especially not on the iCloud.
I agree.
I don't put, like, pictures of my kids on the iCloud, let alone, you know.
If you don't want it seen, don't show it, pretty much. Don't take it. If you don't want it read, don't write it. Just keep it to yourself.
Doesn't iCloud have, like, an automatic upload from your phone or your computer?
It depends on how you have it set up.
Okay.
So it can either be saved as in your photo stream, or it can be uploaded to the iCloud as, like, a backup. So when your phone and your computer backs up, those pictures are saved, and that's how they were able to hack in.
Nothing is safe. Nothing is sacred.
Absolutely.
But I kind of think everybody's making a big deal. Look, and half of these people do movies where they're going to be showing their butts anyway. So what does it even matter?
Yeah.
What does it even matter? Let's just all
they just
peace
to get
and love.
Paid.
I know. They just want to get paid for it. I'm not having my ass out there for free. All right. Moving on. What else is happening in the world, Naina?
There is a sex coffee. I'm not a coffee drinker, but this is like a self-made sex coffee.
That's what
concoction
I should get.
That you can whip up.
What is sex coffee?
It's a combination of a couple things. Cinnamon, maca root, which is not easy to find. But it's natural stuff, raw coca, coconut milk. And you drink it like once a week, and it's supposed to help your drive and your performance. So, I mean, it's worth a shot. It's not like it's all these artificial, you know, things that are
out there. I hope it has more ingredients in it there than that.
I mean, you could, you know, throw your little twist to it, add a little something there, here and there. But for the most part, those are the things that they're saying make it up.
That's not going to do it.
I'm going to go ahead and introduce you. Since you're joining in the dating dish, I was going to bring you in a little bit later in the show, but we do have Tanya TKO, who's in studio with us today, and obviously she's got something to say about sex coffee.
Yeah.
So please welcome to the show with big smooches, Tanya TKO.
Hi, welcome everyone. Thank you for having me.
Okay, we're still doing the dating dish.
Yes.
Usually it's just us, but we're going to bring you in the conversation.
Okay, yes.
And Devin, don't think you're just going to be out of the conversation now that Tanya's here.
I know,
would
I'm
you
here.
Drink this sex coffee to help your performance?
Well, if I needed it, I don't see why not. You know, it seems better for you than any supplements or any, you know, artificial drugs.
Welcome to the new sound of online radio. Welcome to the sound of Universal Broadcasting Network. A mix of today's hits and hard-to-find favorites, combined with the most entertaining and intriguing talk anywhere. This is your sound. This is the sound of Universal Broadcasting Network at UENradio.com.
I'm beginning to think Mercury must be in retrograde because crazy stuff is happening here at UBN today. We were just talking about sex coffee. And your tango says you should drink it once a week to make you feel frisky. But I don't know. I mean, I kind of feel like exercise, eat well, and, you know, don't drink too much. And
yeah,
then I think your libido will probably be fine.
Yeah.
Can we keep going? Can we keep going with another dating dish, Tony? Uh-huh. Let's do it. Okay. Naina. Did you hear about Britney Spears? She put her cheating boyfriend on blast on stage on yes. in her big Vegas stage show. Apparently, she got cheated on. Did Kevin cheat on her too? Is this a pattern
Kevin
for
fell
her?
On. Yeah, he was just a hot mess. Anyway.
He was a hot mess. Let's be honest. Like Britney Spears, a little bit of a hot mess too.
Yeah,
I know.
She's a rich hot mess though.
She's a rich hot mess, and I'm really not mad at her for calling. She called her boyfriend David Lucado out and said she got cheated on and was saying like she was looking for a date or whatever in the audience. And I think it's a good thing, because the more you put yourself out there, Brittany, if you don't have secrets, then the media cannot keep revealing things about you. So I think it's a good thing that she went ahead and said what was going on, so people don't discover it.
Yeah, I mean, she exposed it. If you make fun of yourself, nobody else can make fun of you. So I do have mixed feelings about it. I think for that side of it, it's good. But the other side is like there is a certain level of privacy that you do want to keep within your relationship. But he cheated on her. So for whatever reason, she feels like, you know, you put my business out there, I'm going to put yours out there too. Mm. So, you know, I mean, when you have a woman that you're dealing with that has that sort of a powerful voice and has a mic in her hand and speaking to thousands of people, you should probably watch what you do.
That's just childish, though. You know,
it was
wrongs,
immature, but you can't mess with
right.
a scolded woman. Like she went in.
But people are going to find out about it anyway.
Anyway, yeah.
So
yeah.
It's like if you choose to engage in a relationship with Britney Spears, your business is going to be in the streets and mm-hmm. probably down the strip in Vegas.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's why you stay away from Britney Spears.
Well, hey. Haven't we all learned a lesson now? I know. She's a tough sell at this point.
Yeah.
I mean, she got a couple kids. She's still out there doing
baggage.
It a little bit, but
she likes to wield umbrellas and whatnot and beat up cars with inanimate objects.
Everyone has a past. It's whether you are able to accept and want to accept that person's past. But everybody has a past. It's just she's in the public eye and hers has been, you know, more exposed than most average people. So
she's not that innocent.
No, oh, we never said she was innocent. No, she
I mean, she even said so herself.
Yes.
What do you think, Tanya? Do you think she should have kept her business to herself?
You know, I think each person has to make decisions that they feel are right for them. I think in the past, she has kept her business to herself. Maybe now she's trying something new. We'll see how this works out. Maybe more people can leak the information before it's leaked on them and take control of the momentum of news.
Yeah. Okay. All right, Brittany, we're letting you off the hook on this one.
Yeah. Go, girl.
Anything else happening in the world before
yes.
we close our dating dish?
Of course, Damona. You have some, you know, a great article here about moving in with your significant other. A lot of people don't really, you know, consider a lot of questions to ask, and it's on Huffington Post if anyone wants to check that out. But
I know people kept asking me like when do I move in with yeah. my significant other, or I moved in and it didn't work out and why. So I had to write this piece. It's six crucial questions you must ask before moving in with your significant other. But there were some interesting statistics that I came across that that you guys can read about on Huffington Post. Did you know 20% of cohabitating women get pregnant in the first year?
Wow.
That was like a shock to me.
I mean, if you're in that type of quarters and you're spending more time with a person, your significant other, then you're obviously probably having more sex. which and would you kinda, increase your chances.
You kind of let your guard down a little bit, yeah. You know. But I've actually, you know, I've dealt with some women that moved in thinking this is a step towards marriage. Mm-hmm. And, you know, a lot of my clients are in their late 30s, early 40s. And they're like, look, if I get pregnant, I get pregnant. And whether or not they have a commitment from the guy. And I kind of feel like that's not a decision to take very lightly. Yeah.
No, it's not.
You know, I mean, it might sound cool while with all your girlfriends have kids. But, you know, as someone who's dealing with two kids right now, my husband, you know, is on set. So I'm dealing with them mostly by myself. That is not a walk in the park. And like park and shout out to any single moms, yeah, that are listening right now. If you're on the chat roll and you're a single mom, holla, because I have so much respect for you. It is really not an easy thing, and you cannot take that decision.
Well, yeah, the decision. Yeah, lightly. I would. And then, you know, and you want to make sure that whoever your mate is on the same page as you. If you're moving in with the thought that, oh, this is marriage, and then we're going to have kids, what if he's not thinking that? He's just thinking, we're going to save some money on the rent. You know what I'm, yep, saying? Like, seriously, like, guys are very simple. We're thinking long term. Hey, they're thinking short term. But I mean, y'all say,
sorry,
that y'all,
Devin,
guys say, well, tell us what you think. I feel like it. Which is your first question on, yes, in the article? Why are we doing this? You know, that's important.
We're doing it because we love each other. We want to be around each other all the time. It may not be the smartest thing to do, as we've learned, you know, from our previous experiences, but
see, a lot of women, though, they think if you haven't had that conversation, that actual conversation, they think it's, oh, assumed, we're moving together, yeah, because he's gonna marry me, and you're just thinking like, oh, cool, I won't have to drive across town to go to her apartment anymore, so it'll be a little bit more convenient.
No,
so you got to talk about it.
Ask those questions.
Six of them on HuffPost weddings under the marriage section, so check that out today. So, okay, again, I'm just going to reintroduce my guest in case you guys are joining us late. I'm here with Tanya TKO. She is a love and lifestyle expert. She's been considered media's number one big sister. She is an author, and she's also a host and creator of the Tanya TKO Show. Her mission is to educate, enlighten, and empower men and women with self-love and acceptance. Please give big smooches again to Tanya TKO.
Yay. Thank you.
All right. How do you get to be media's number one big sister?
Well, you know, I've been voted that by the masses. I think that the people that I appeal to, a lot of them come to me because they didn't have the motherly figure, the big sister that I turned out to be, to help them become the women and men they were meant to be.
Mm-hmm. So you really want to inspire people to love themselves first.
Absolutely.
And, you know, from that you can find love through another. Are there any like exercises that you can recommend for someone to kind of begin that self-love journey?
Well, absolutely. That I would say the first thing to do in loving yourself is to go back in the past. You know, we all are dealing with some sort of trauma, and start looking at your life's patterns. Try to figure out what it is that you're here to work on as a human being. And when you start looking at the theme of your life and healing some of those things and working towards just go, you know, like the little mole that exists. You know, the mole. You go in, you extract the mole, and
I didn't know if you're talking about a rodent or a blemish on your face, but yes, okay, that mole.
Right, I'm talking about like the mole in the corporation or the mole in the.
Okay, that mole. Mm-hmm. You extract the mole because there's like a mole in your psyche,
yeah,
that is that's holding you back, that's sabotaging you.
Absolutely. And a lot of the time it's unknown. We don't know that it's there. And so if you take a look at yourself, and then also another thing, I would say one of the main things is negative self-talk. You know, you'd be surprised. We don't even have to wait for anybody else to beat us down. So many of us are beating ourselves down in our own minds. And if we can, the number one exercise I ask people to start to do is to give that negative voice on the inside a name, a face, and characteristics. Mm-hmm. And after you describe it to its fullest, then you give it some love and you thank it for why it was there, and then you ask it to leave.
But that's hard to do, to like give that part of you love rather than hate on it.
One trick that I found that I do in my seminars is actually getting a piece of paper out. Like, you know, we all have negative voices in our head. I had one. Her name was Negative Nelly. And Negative Nelly used to always, you know, tell me different things that I could not do. And basically, when you write down the who, what, where, when, why is this entity telling you these negative things? And when you get to the why, you'll realize that there's actually something in there that's projecting from you to protect you from something. So when you get to the why and you realize, Do you want to go and take one of the negative voices from your head and let's get to the why? Are you willing?
One of my negative voices?
Are you?
I don't have any negative voices.
I have a hungry fat kid on the inside. That's one of my negative voices. And I tell them, no, we are full. Stop eating.
I think our hungry fat kids are hanging out together.
Everybody has one. I'll admit it. It's okay.
Okay, so let me ask you a question. Does your negative fat kid tell you negative things in your mind?
Absolutely.
Okay, what types of things are they saying?
Eat that Twinkie. It's okay. You ran. You did a hike today. Eat that pizza.
You deserve it.
So it's being earned, girl.
Yeah. So I stop and I'm like, listen.
So it's being a negative influence. Do you have any negative voices that attack you or talk down to you on the inside?
Yeah.
Okay. And what do some of those voices tell you?
Keep eating. Keep eating.
So it's all about the food. So let's get to the why. Yeah. Why do you think it's saying that to you?
Because it makes me happy. You know, like sometimes there are things that we do. In the moment, mm-hmm. we do things that, you know, are not good for us, but they make us feel good temporarily.
Well, you know what? I think that's a different story. That's actually using food to self-medicate. And that's, you know, a lot of people do that. Food, when it goes into your body, it changes into chemicals.
Yep.
And so you need those chemicals, or you think you need those chemicals to actually get you a certain feeling, maybe serotonin or some other things. But when you get that urge on the inside to eat some of those foods, all you have to do is ask yourself, what is the feeling that I'm trying to get from this? And you may be looking for some comfort. You may be looking for the pleasure of an orgasm. You may be looking
what?
For...
What? Whoa, hold on a second. I mean, the tone of the show just changed.
Chocolate gets kind
of
close.
Just changed dramatically.
Chocolate does get me close. I'm not going to lie.
Yes, absolutely. So my...
Are you drinking too much of that sex coffee, aren't you?
I haven't tried it, but I have... Chocolate makes me happy. It makes me really happy.
So my suggestion to you is, instead of using the food to help you get that feeling, why not concentrate on perhaps trying to figure out how to get that orgasm?
I'll work on that.
We're getting into this.
I will work on that.
I'm serious. I think that, especially with all of the sexual limitations that we have in our society today, you know, a person would rather gorge themselves for that ecstatic feeling, for that release on the inside. But why not set up your life in such a way that perhaps you are in a type of relationship in which you're able to get that satisfaction the right way.
I'll take an orgasm over a candy bar any day.
Okay. Well, it's not really socially appropriate to have an orgasm in public.
No, it's not.
You can have a candy bar anytime, you know? Things are going to get a little racier a little later in the show, but...
That's the start. That's the start of it.
That's a start. Yeah. And, you know, in a way, like you've said before also, not only are you kind of looking to fill a certain void in yourself with, you know, whether it's food or whatever it is, but in a way, when we get into a relationship, sometimes that can itself be a way that you're filling a certain hole. And in a way, your mate kind of is a reflection of the things that you're missing in certain respects.
Absolutely.
It's not always a positive thing.
Absolutely.
How do you know if you're in the right relationship, or if your relationship might be there to cover up something else that you need to deal with for yourself?
Well, you know, I think when you go into a relationship, right, and you go in with a deficit in your cup, like the perfect time to go into, I read this wonderful quote on Facebook that said, get into a relationship when you're, oh gosh, I can't remember the quote, but it was like,
just make it up, girl.
When you're ready, not when you're lonely.
Yeah.
Right. And I think that when you go into,
don't quote her on that one, Devin.
When you go into a relationship with your cup empty, hoping for someone to fill you up, you know, you go in with this perpetual deficit that you're actually trying to gain from another person. But when you go in with your cup running over and you're in that relationship because you want to be in relationship, relating with another person, helping to exalt this person while simultaneously exalting yourself. When mm-hmm. you're in a symbiotic relationship and you know that you give to this person complementarily the way this person also gives to you, and you feel a certain fulfillment that comes within you, not because you run over into them and they run over into you, not because you're there as an empty cup, like fill me, fill me, mm-hmm. fill me, and you'll never get filled that way.
Mm-hmm. You guys both have to just be sloppy and just rolling over, and then everybody. By the way, Devin is live tweeting. If you're joining us live, you can follow us at Dates Mates Media on Twitter, and you can send us your questions that way via Twitter or retweet whatever we're talking about on the show, or you know, be in this live tweeting live experience that we're having here on UBN Radio. So. We're going to take a little break. When we come back, though, I want to get into the down and dirty. You have some really great topics that you've talked about on the Tanya TKO show and on TanyaTKO.com on your website. There was a little video I saw about how do you know if you fall for a player, can you turn a hoe into a husband? Mm. And I know there are a lot of people that are wondering this. So I'm going to leave them hanging for a little bit, but we'll tell them the answer to that question right after this break. You're listening to Dates and Mates. We are live from the Sunset Gower Studios in Hollywood. I'm your host, Damona Hoffman, and I'll be back in just a moment. Welcome back to Dates and Mates. I'm Damona Hoffman, and we are here talking about love in the modern world. I am joined in studio by Tanya TKO. She is a empowerment and self-love expert. She's also known as media's number one big sister. You can find her online at TanyaTKO.com, and she's with us talking about how to get a man to marry you. Okay, before the break, I said I would tell you about how to turn a hoe into a husband, and we're going to talk about that, but stick with us a little bit, because there's some other stuff that we got to talk about. So before we even get to, you know, whether he's a hoe, how to make him a husband, you know, a lot of people say with online dating and the current dating scene that we are living in, there are so many options out there that, like, kind of everybody's a hoe.
My goodness.
In a way, you know, the norm is that you're dating multiple people until, you know, you're totally exclusive. But some people don't necessarily know that, or you don't know if your mate, like... One of my former clients just met a mate on Tinder, which was not necessarily my recommendation, but it seems to be working out for her. But so she was showing me her Tinder account. She was showing me what he looked like. And then she went on and was like, wait a minute. It says he was on 20 minutes ago. What? I know. You can speak.
No, but that's the thing about Tinder, is you can see if you've made a connection with someone and you start dating them, you can see the last time they were on. So like, if I'm dating somebody and I just go on, not that I'm looking for
sites pretty much do that.
Yeah. See, I'm not on, like,
I know,
but I know Tinder.
I'm just educating
I'm on
the masses here. Yeah. But on Tinder, yes,
it'll
does say
you
that
5 minutes ago, 1 minute ago. Like, wait a minute, didn't you just tell me you miss me?
But see, she had just logged in to show
yes.
him to me. So yeah. I'm like, well, you can't really be in a glass house and throw the stones. But okay, so the point is, Tanya TKO, do you feel like with online dating that there are too many options out there? There are too many people to pick from, and it's keeping people from being able to be focused on one mm-hmm. person.
You know, actually, I read an article in the New York Times about the amount of options in larger cities, mm-hmm. which stops people from settling down. So I would say that there is some truth to that. I'd agree.
I don't know. I read that article, too. And I kind of feel like people are a little quick to point the finger at online dating. But like, weren't we all dating people before? Like, it's just that you didn't know about it.
I wouldn't say that it was specifically online dating. But yeah.
You didn't have this much of a reach, though. Like, you can literally date someone, quote unquote, date them, and they live in New York, you live in LA, and you're dating them. You couldn't do that before. Online dating has, like, literally opened up the floodgates of options.
And isn't it wonderful, Naya?
It's a good thing and a bad thing. If you're looking for someone to focus in a relationship with you, then it's hard, because once you get to a place with that person and you want to focus and date them exclusively, you're like, okay, wait, is he still dating 20 other chicks, or yes, is he focusing on me? Like, how do you tell when he, like, you need
that's
to log
that's why
off.
We have to communicate. We have that's to communicate yeah. with our partner. Well, what do you think? Just knowing that the inventory is so vast now, what do you recommend to people to be able to filter down to get to the right mate?
Well, you know, I think that's it's so funny that you asked that, because I actually think, as you know, when you mentioned the video, how to get Mr. Right to fall in, or how to get, you know, Mr. Right to fall in love with you, it, one of the last points, or one of the points inside that video, is to actually give him the space to see what else is out there, honestly. You know, because men get mm-hmm. to a point in their lives when they do want to settle down. And, you know, other options, if you see him online looking around, that actually could be a really good thing for you. Because when a man is getting to the point where he's getting ready to narrow down to find, you know, to be with his wife, he's just going to just, and you know, and if you know how amazing and how great and the type of connection that you have with that man, these other women are only going to be a gigantic reminder to him of how much like you they are not. So
yeah, but
that's
see,
a great
lot,
way to look at it.
It is. I know, but I think a lot of women don't have that confidence in the relationship and maybe in themselves to say, well, I know I'm going to be the best thing that he finds out there. So even if he is looking at all these other women, he's going to then turn around and come back to me and say, oh, I looked out there, but I didn't find anything else just as good as you. That's sort of fantasy, right?
But is that on him? Is her lack of confidence in herself in a relationship on him? Or is that something that she may need to begin to address inside herself? Mm-hmm. Like when we start talking about, you know, self-love and how you can't get anybody else to love you until you love yourself.
Construction. Sorry, guys.
I thought somebody's vibrator turned on.
I wish.
I was like, Naina. No.
She forwent the chocolate and just went straight.
I would not
to the...
bring it in the studio.
Oh, no, my goodness.
So okay, you leave wow. it in the green room.
I'll leave it at home.
Okay.
Well, you do talk about masturbation as well. We're going to talk about that a little bit later, too.
Absolutely.
We've never talked about that on the show. So this is very funny. The things are live and happening at the studio today.
But that's rolling with
we
it.
We keep rolling. So is there are there exercises then for growing that self-love within?
Absolutely. Absolutely. There are so many different things that you can do to begin to fortify self-love. And you'd be surprised. One of the main things that you can do is to change your mind. Mm-hmm. Just change your mind about yourself. You'd be surprised. Like, you know, they say 60% of Americans are overweight. And so many women look inside the mirror and they say all of these negative, horrible things to themselves. And in the same breath that you could be saying, oh, look how fat and blubbery or whatever you are, you can actually be using that same breath to be saying something wonderful about yourself, and it'll be something that'll actually begin to penetrate into your subconscious. You know that the subconscious does not sleep. So when you mm-hmm. say these wonderful, amazing things to yourself, it begins to penetrate into your subconscious. And in the same breath that you could say something negative, you can just flip that and say something positive and let that penetrate.
I'm going to try that. Every time I go into my closet right now and I see all my pre-pregnancy clothes and I just want to cry, I'm going to do something positive for myself. But okay, so we mentioned turning a hoe into a husband. So like what is the secret? If this is a guy that is prone to going out and dating around, he is a playa, how do you make sure that you are the one for him? How can you turn it around?
That was actually a trick question. How do you turn a hoe into a husband? That's a trick question, because you have to, as women, we are queen. And as queen, we are the ones who choose. So we have to choose the men who are coming to us and are ready to give us what it is that we need, that are presenting themselves in a way with things that we are looking for in a man and in a mate. So if a man comes to you and he's letting you know that he's a hoe, rather than trying to convert him into a husband, find a man who is husband material, a man who is ready to settle down. That was a trick question. You can't make a man do anything. Let's just put that on the table right here and now. You cannot make a man do anything. You can't make a man stop hoeing. You can't make a man be a husband. Well, you can turn a man into a husband, but you cannot make him want to be a husband. Men get to a certain point in their life when they've done what it is that they need to do, when they've gotten to the place that they need to be financially, spiritually in their lives as a man, that they're going to come forward and want to be husband. And that's the time that you pick them off the tree. That's when you grab them right then and there.
Well, I just had a conversation with a couple of my male friends, and they said that a guy gets to that point when he knows that he's probably going to end up being by himself. He's played every game that he could play, and he's been out there and been used all up, and he just doesn't want to be by himself. That's not fair, but, I mean, it's the truth for some guys. They wait until they're, like, old or old enough where they're like, all right, I still got a little bit in me. I could snag a good one, and then I'm just going to, you know, settle down because I've played enough games. That's not cool.
You know, and I understand, believe me, I mean I'm a woman, and I understand that may not be the optimal time for you when he's beginning to go bald and his muscles are not as taut as they were in his 20s. But you honestly, as a woman, you have to rest in your femininity, and you have to allow a man to be a man and not try to change him. You know, our men are always like, don't change me, don't change me. Perfect. Don't.
Yeah,
so if he's coming to you with something that you don't want in your life, if he's coming to you with a lifestyle that you don't agree with, and if he's presenting something to you that you just don't want to be a part of, you have to let him go and do whatever it is that he's going to do and find somebody else. So yeah, so it's unfortunate. Yeah, when they start to go a little bald or when
that's
they don't
when they want to come settle down.
You know, because you know
that what? That is not. No, it's not always. It's a different, Devin, you have to get involved in this conversation because I think there are just different types of guys out there. Like my husband was marriage minded from the beginning. He was like, actually, we got married when we were like 28. And he was like, actually, I wanted to be married even sooner.
But did he grow up in a household where his parents were together? And that, like, he had a great example of
he
that
did.
Because some people
he did.
And see, that's probably why he started so early. But guys who don't have that, they're just out here in these streets. Like,
I know. So you leave them in the streets. Devin. Devin, defend yourself here.
It's so difficult for me to speak on this, though.
because he's still playing.
Because I'm 22, and I turned 23 this month. Happy
he
birthday.
Keeps reminding
happy
me of
birthday,
this. Every
happy
day
birthday.
He's reminding me that his birthday is coming.
Yeah. And I don't think I'm going bald anytime soon. So it's really difficult.
Choice,
yeah, it's
to.
Really difficult for me to speak on this. But I will say that when guys are ready to get married, they'll get married. And you don't have to rush it. You don't have to try to change them up. You don't have to do anything. If it happens, it'll happen.
But, you know, eventually you are looking for the right girl. You're not looking to, like, play the field forever or until you're
look at his
until
face,
you're with
though.
The walker.
Look at his face.
They wait and
says,
they
yeah.
wait that long sometimes though.
All right, talk to me when you're 23.
September 26th.
He just will never let me forget this. Okay, we're gonna take a little break. When we come back, we're gonna talk about when you are with the right guy, how do you get him to want to marry you? We talked earlier about, is cohabitation the way? Is there another way that you can move the relationship along and get the man to say, will you marry me? Right after this break, you're listening to Dates and Mates. We'll be back in just a moment. Welcome back to Dates and Mates. I'm your host, Damona Hoffman. We are talking about how to get a man to marry you. I am here with Tanya TKO. You can find her online at TanyaTKO.com. She's also host of the Tanya TKO Show. So we're going to give you the answer to how to get a man to marry you in a little bit. But first, I want to talk about, you know, just even knowing that you're with a good guy, because I think sometimes people don't even know that they have a good one and then they let him go and then they're, Naina's looking at me with those doe eyes. They let him go and then they're stuck with the crumbs.
Yeah.
How do you know if you got a good man, Tanya?
Well, you know, I think that's part of the process. I think that, and you know what, I counsel a lot of people about this because they're like, oh, their lives are so horrible, etc. Right? And so I ask them to construct a perfect life. Construct a perfect life for yourself, and what would you construct? And in that perfect life, you know, most people start out talking about all of the wonderful things that they would bring into their lives and how they would marry a wonderful man. And I'm like, well, how would you know that this man is wonderful if you've not had the opposite of wonderful? And so I think it's a part of the process where I think it takes having a good man. And if you can't recognize that you have a good man when you have that good man, I think it takes losing that good man to understand what else may be out there.
You gotta go through the process. That's a good point. If you don't know the other side, then you don't have a point of comparison. So in terms of getting a man to commit, and look, I'll just be honest. I'll remember when my now husband and I were dating, it seemed like forever that I was waiting for that ring. Now I look back and I'm like, it was 5 seconds. But you know, you see everybody else getting their engagement rings and going to all of these weddings, and it's like, when is it going to be my turn? Is there a way that you can get a man to be ready to marry you, that you can move things along?
Well, you know what? It's funny. I did a video about that, and that's actually one of my most popular videos. Mm-hmm. And there's a process to it. Psychologically speaking, women bond in different ways than men do. Women bond by constantly being connected to their friends, to each other, because women bond by, if you think about the anatomical difference between men and women, or boys and girls, and how we grow up, the girls, when we realize that we are female, we connect with our mother, we stay connected with our mother. And there's a time that happens where boys are disconnected from their mother. They're like, you're a little boy, you have to go be with the boys. Mm-hmm. And then so they're separated from their support center, and they learn autonomy and self-sufficiency on their own, because they have to separate from their comfort structure, their emotional center, etc. So the way that women bond is by being really close together. If you think about it, even with your girlfriends, you all will put on makeup together, spend the night. Well, not anymore, but back in the day, you would go to the bathroom together. You'd call each other all day, and you'd never get tired of one another unless you have a little fight, but then you come back together. But with men, it's different. You know, men need that space to know that they're in love and that they want to be with you. I've interviewed a lot of different men who have gotten married, and most, not all, but most of the men, listen, this is the secret. I want all of the people listening to get their pens and papers out, okay?
Okay, listen up, people. Devin's taking notes, too.
This is the secret. Most men decide that they want to marry the woman after things get shaken up, a little break or something like that, or an ultimatum of sorts where he has to make the decision about what it is that he's going to do and whether or not he would rather have her in his life or out of his life forever. So the way women bond is by being with their partner just consistently, constantly, etc. And men go in a sort of, they dip down where they fall off the face of the earth, and then they start looking around to see what else is out there. Because for men, you'd be surprised, oh my goodness, there's so many people who don't know this, but men are tremendously sensitive. And they're tremendously sensitive to being dependent on a woman.
Hmm.
It's very frightening.
I think that's the key, you know, because I think I've seen a lot of guys that aren't ready to take that step until they feel that they have their stuff, their business handled.
Absolutely.
You know, they feel financially secure and they feel that their career is on track, and they don't want to be dependent on a woman, you know, not in a sexist way, but just in terms of they need to bring their own stuff to the table.
You know, that's actually a whole different story right there.
Yeah.
Like financially has to be together, spiritually, etc. Mm-hmm. But just in terms of getting the commitment, men are petrified of being emotionally dependent on a woman because they don't want to be crushed. And, you know, men think of us as really soft. And if you look at us, we are so soft, aren't we? And so,
especially right now in the midsection. That's
see,
for me.
Now you can't say these horrible things about yourself. We're going to talk after.
Think good thoughts.
Exactly.
So, I didn't say anything. I didn't pass judgment on it. It's a fact. I'm soft in the middle right now.
But look at the beautiful life that you brought in.
But look at that. Look at that.
So absolutely. So with men, they're petrified of being emotionally dependent on a woman. So when he's beginning to fall for her, he's going to take a dip down so that he can get his autonomy and he can, you know, I'm a man, I don't need this. And then he'll be able to come back when he feels like he's ready. Unfortunately, what happens is when men dip down into that zone and they fall off the face of the earth, the women follow them down there too, because in the woman's mind, if we're a couple, if we're together, if we're falling in love, why would you want to separate? To her, she's like, oh, we have to spend every moment together, we have to be together. And then when he dips down, she follows him down there. And unfortunately, that shift, it becomes a power shift, and she begins to then chase. Mm-hmm. And when you can't chase if a person's not running, and when you run, if you're running after a person, that means you're chasing them. And what happens is she ends up chasing until he starts running away.
If you're chasing, then I better start running.
Right. But if you stay rested, when he comes back up from that dip, he'll come back and seek you out. Like you'll see so many people who have become married. In the relationship zone, when they were still dating, he would have dipped down, come back. You see so many relationships. We've been through so much, so many breakups. That's actually quite normal. It's odd for a man to go straight with the straight peer bonding, never separating, and then lead straight into marriage. That's odd.
It is odd. But don't you think that a lot of women assume that men fall in love the same way that they do, or they communicate the same way that they do.
Right.
And so then they're like, well, I want to spend every moment together. Right. I want to talk about everything. And he's not talking about anything. Right. So he must be running away.
Right.
And then like it's all the stories that then we start to tell ourselves about, absolutely, you know, our prism.
Like, what did I do to chase him away? Why is he gone? Why isn't he calling me every day? He used to call me every day. But those are the moments where you as a woman, you need to start doing something else. Go get some hobbies. Go do something else.
Yeah, hobby. Speaking of hobbies, I promised everybody I would tell, we would talk about the big M. You have a list of 6 reasons every woman should masturbate. How did you come up with this list of 6? And maybe give us a little hint as to what a couple of them are.
Well, I'd say one of the number one things is, if you don't know what you like, how can anybody else please you?
Mm-hmm.
If you don't know. So you have to take some time to get to know yourself as a woman. I saw this really sad video online. It broke my heart. This person put up like this vagina booth. Right? Like it was a vagina viewing booth where women would go in, grown women, and look at their vaginas for the first time.
Oh, it's their own vagina.
Yeah. Oh, yes. Yes.
Very good.
Goodness. You'd be surprised.
That's pornography. Okay.
No, but you would be surprised how many women wouldn't be able to identify their own vaginas in a vagina lineup. Would you be able to identify your own vagina, Mrs. D?
You know, I'll be honest. I'm not sure. I never really thought about it. I never thought about it. But
no, yeah.
We could try it. I mean,
here we go.
That's a good test.
Here comes Devin. Want to chime in on the vagina lineup?
Since, Devin.
No, you're not allowed in. We get to see our vaginas. Not
you. Right. So if you saw like a lineup of different vaginas, so many women wouldn't be able to pick out their own. And I think that that's indicative of a much larger problem. I think that we as women, we have to become comfortable with our bodies. We have to become comfortable with the nooks and the crannies, because in order for you to be able to really tell a person how to get in there the way he needs to get in there.
And you got to tell him sometimes.
You have to first know how to get in there yourself. You have to know whether or not you like it deep and short, you know, or deep in with the short thrust, or whether you like long stroking from way back when, in and out. You have to know what it is that you as a woman likes. You have to know whether or not the feeling of his body heat, or the feeling of the pressure of him on top of you, or whether or not you're face down on the mattress is what's going to get you where you need to go. So you have to experiment. So one of the number one reasons is to really be able to, oh my goodness, 70% of women have never what?
Right. We had this conversation yesterday. Oh my gosh. Have never had a
An orgasm.
Have never had an orgasm?
That is 70%.
70%. No.
Yes, and I did a video about this, and I was asking women, I gave them multiple choice, what is it that you're doing? And some of the multiple choice were like jokes. Yes. I was like, do you...
No, seriously,
you mean like
I've
this
met...
Week?
No, in life, and it's so sad. That is so sad to have never had an orgasm.
And
like,
unfortunately,
oh my God.
Yeah. And so I did the multiple choice, and I was like, I gave them some options of what is it that you're doing if you're not orgasming, and some of them were like, you know, oh, I just turn over.
My kids.
I just turn over and finish the job later.
No
I don't want to
fun.
Make him feel bad. And I'm like,
no fun.
Because you know what? And a man, listen, men want. Oh my goodness. He wants to make you climax. A good man wants to make you climax. And if he doesn't, then you should question why you're giving up your vagina for charity. Like, why are you having sex for charity? You know?
Yeah. And, you know, I think that communication is really key because a lot of times women are afraid to say what they need. And most men, you know, if you're listening live and you're on the chat roll, guys, chime in. I don't know, Devin, I'm not really sure if you're still in the conversation, but guys would like to please you. So if they're not doing it right, they don't want you to sit there and be uncomfortable and just be like, okay, thank you, roll over.
But exactly, but here we go with all of these sexual hangups. How many of us know what our vaginas taste like? You know what your vagina tastes like?
Yes.
Do you know what your vagina
Unfortunately,
like?
Yes.
Okay.
So I'd rather not.
Yeah.
What do you mean you'd rather
TMI,
not?
That's because I don't know that in my
if
life.
You, oh my if don't. You allow someone else to, you should know what it does. Yeah. First.
Absolutely.
Devin just quit. He just walked out the door. I can't even believe it.
For the women who are listening,
no,
you
I didn't.
Should.
At Dates Mates
and
Media
and we're,
on Twitter.
We're at the, you know, line of the run of the show. And now
it
we're getting really
hot. It always gets hot right at the end of the show.
You should definitely know what your vagina tastes like
and look like,
feels like. Looks like, and where inside there is your spot. You have to know these things.
And for men too, honestly.
I think that that's absolutely true. Devin, do you know what your semen tastes like?
Not at all.
Good answer. Good answer.
How is that a good answer? Wait a minute. Rewind. How is that a good answer?
I mean, they're not going to admit to what we would admit to. So, yeah, that would be so... Pause.
Remember, he's
pause
turning 23 at the end of the month.
That's
for a guy,
that's a pause moment.
Take some time as you get into it and learn what your own semen tastes like. You know, I mean, sex is a
no, don't do it.
do it. Sex is a slippery act, and sex is an act where juices are exchanged. So absolutely, I mean,
if you're asking someone else to swallow your juices, you have to be willing to do it yourself.
Yeah. And you know what? That's fair. You can tell when something is off. Or still on, or you can tell when you may need to eat a little more fruit juices.
Yeah.
You know, you can.
Or
you,
yes.
If you,
yes,
if you
the
know
flavor.
What you if you know what yes. you taste like, you can tell. So you can check the barometer of yourself through the taste of your own juices.
Oh my God, we have to leave the show
wow.
here. But Tanya, wow, we've been enlightened in this hour. We got to know what you have coming up next. I know you're online at TanyaTKO.com and you host the Tanya TKO show. You've written a book, Lessons from a Motherless Child, 10 Crucial Secrets of Love, Self, Sex, and Self-Esteem. Are you working on another book? What else is happening?
That's actually the book that I'm working on. I'm hoping to get that one published. The book I have out now is on self-love and trauma healing. Mm-hmm. So the Lessons from the Motherless Child is the one that I'm working on publishing now. So that's what's next for me.
That's what's next. Okay. And so when can we catch more Tanya TKO at Tanya TKO show?
I broadcast live every Wednesdays where I help people find themselves on the love seat. They call in and I help them get to the root of their issues live using some intuition as well as some dating and self-love knowledge. And so that's live every Wednesday on my website, TanyaTKO.com. And that is Tanya with an O, TonyaTKO.com.
Great. Well, we will be sure to retweet all of these nuggets of wisdom that you've shared with us. And there have been a lot of nuggets today. There have been a lot of nuggets. So we will be on Twitter at Dates Mates Media. And I'm on Twitter at Dear Mrs. D. You're on Twitter at Tanya TKO. Absolutely. Naina's on Twitter at Naina Drake, but make sure you're following at Datesmates Media, and you can get, we'll be the hub of all the information for this action-packed episode of Dates and Mates. Thank you so much for joining us, Tanya.
Thank you.
And a big thanks to our sponsor, Lash Lounge LA. Remember, you now get $30 off your first set of fabulous lashes if you go to lashloungela.com and put in the code Dear Mrs. D or Dates and Mates, and they will give you $30 off. Join us again next week at 11 a.m. Pacific when we will have Judith Clare and Frank Wiegers in studio discussing gender differences and what women need to know about men, much, much more. Until then, happy dating.
We're talking love in the modern world. This is Dates and Mates with your host, Damona Hoffman. I can't care that.